And again, when you send cards, Christmas cards, to people, to your friends who are not Christians, with Christian's message, isn't it a subtle way of bringing Christ to them? It's a wonderful opportunity to talk about Jesus. Any opportunity we get to talk about Jesus is worth taking. It's worth taking. I don't care what you call it. It was not born on December 25. That's not important. The most important thing is an opportunity to talk about who? Jesus Christ. And then so we should really support it and celebrate it and do and make sure that it's a tradition that goes on and on. It benefits us and benefits the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know how many people will come to the Lord today? In so many places. Do you know how many people the Spirit of God is wooing and talking to? Just reading card. You know that authority's wife came to the Lord because he picked a tract on the main road. She was a Muslim. She picked a tract that on the main road and read it, and the Lord began to speak to her. That's how she gave her life to Jesus. Today she's a pastor. Do you know how many people will read your card and the Spirit of God is talking to them? Brethren, we won't give up such opportunity. The devil is a liar. Amen? I said amen. So Christmas is in fulfillment of John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's when God gave us his son. That's when this thought was fulfilled. God loves you so much. God loves me so much. God loves the world that he gave us his son. So the birth of his son is in fulfillment of his love for us that was demonstrated in action that he gave us his son. So we're really also celebrating the love that God has for us. Amen? You know, and I want you to listen to me, please. I don't want wandering around. I want to sit down and listen to me. The Christian world in general has missed a major point. The point we've missed is that we are not emphasizing what the Holy Spirit is what? Emphasizing. The New Testament emphasizes the love of God. The New Testament emphasizes the eternal life of Jesus that he brought to mankind. The emphasis of the New Testament is Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. The emphasis, the New Testament emphasizes so much, focuses so much on Christ and the love of God and the eternal life that he brought us. But the body of Jesus Christ is not emphasizing on what the Holy Spirit is emphasizing. And if we're not emphasizing on what he's emphasizing, then we're not at par with him. And that's why you all agree with me that except the Lord builds, that those that are building benefit. If I don't emphasize what the Spirit of God is emphasizing, I want to know how I'm working in unity with him. Do you know that this is why the church is not walking in the fullness of divine blessing? We're walking in some measures of blessing, but not in fullness of what? Divine blessing. We're walking in some measures of blessing, but not in fullness of it. God's plan to establish the church is not just a gathering where you preach to people, they go home. I want to wake us up. God's plan in calling you to the kingdom is not to come and sit in church and talk to you, a gospel, preach gospel, and go home. Half of them you don't even remember. God's plan in preaching the gospel, in bringing you to the kingdom, is to make you a vessel through which his Spirit works. Is to make you a vessel through which the Spirit of Christ, what? Works. So that not only are you blessed, you too become a vessel of blessing. Channel of blessing. Channel through which God works. That's why he said, if you believe in me, he said, you shall lay hand on the sick and they shall what? Which is, he's saying, you should be my channel of healing people, my channel of bringing my power to work for humanity. The church is a place where there should be constant demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. What did I say? The Spirit and what? The Spirit is, you see the manifestations of the Spirit in word of knowledge. Word of, the Bible says when you come together, you have prophecy, you have this, you have. That's what the church should have. A normal standard church of Jesus Christ, you have your manifestation of the Holy Spirit all over the place in the church. Paul wrote it. He said, when you come together, some have doctrine, some have this, some have this, because that's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That's a demonstration of the presence of the Spirit of God among you. The power is the power gifts and things, healings and stuff like that. That's why he said, upon Mount Zion, the sons of Jacob shall what? Possess their. And not only that, there shall be also what? People shall be free. A Christian is not just a churchgoer. We haven't come into the fullness of the blessings of God. Because we are not emphasizing what the Holy Spirit is what? It's limiting us. And the church now is, people don't really find the relevance of the church. That's why they don't come to church. The early church that was talking about what the Spirit of, that wrote the back, they wrote us the scriptures. They were talking about what the Spirit of God was emphasizing. Did you notice the difference? The Bible said they turned the whole world what? Upside down. One man went to Samaria. What's his name? Philip. And the Bible said the whole town, because one man came, there was fullness of joy. That's what you should be. 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 When you arrive in your neighborhood, there should be fullness of joy because of your presence. People should be coming to call you and say, can you help us, give us counsel about this issue? We noticed something about you. Can you? God should be directing them to you. God should be moving them to talk to you. They should be calling you to come and pray for us. We have a problem here. Somebody is sick in our neighborhood. They say there's one woman or one man that lives around here. I think he's a Christian. Can we get him to pray for us? That's what it should be. We had an election. The church didn't even know who would win the election. And when the election result came, they were all angry and confused. If the church doesn't know the mind, the future, who will know? When the Bible says, I gave you my spirit, so we show you things to come. You didn't know election in your country, what will you know? I'm telling people the truth. The Lord's been dealing with me on this for 3 weeks now. For 3 weeks now. Tomorrow I'm going away to stay with him. We're talking about this. I'm going away to hang out with him. We're going to talk about this. We're not showing forth the fullness of the glory of Jesus. We live a normal life, victim of the same thing everybody's victim about, complain like every other person. So no difference, really. So what happens to the Jesus we say we have? That is in us. Is he hiding? Praise the Lord. It's because we are not emphasizing on what the Holy Spirit is what? Emphasizing the things that God has equipped us with to make us different. We have put them somewhere. Talking about things that God has closed down. God does have a big need of it. I was asking the Lord, I said, what's the difference between the obedience of the Pharisees and the obedience of Jesus? Brethren, it's like that night. So one of the things that the Holy Spirit is emphasizing in the New Testament is love of the love of God. Is a central message of the New Testament. Is a central issue. If you don't manifest it, God says you're not even a Christian. I didn't say so. That's what the Bible says. It says if a man does not love, he does not know God. For God is what? Now, if you don't know God, are you a Christian? That's simply put, you're not even a Christian. And it talks about how you can heal the sick. You can say you can do all manner of things, but if you don't have love, you are still what? You are still what? Zero. The Spirit of God is making this a core issue, a central issue we don't talk about. Because that's the manifestation of the eternal life. The eternal life that Jesus brought us is manifested in the love of God, for God is love. Praise the Lord. Every work of faith that God does on earth is through his love. I don't care what that is. Every work of faith that the Spirit of God does is a manifestation of his love. And it's received only by faith. Case closed. Because God is love. He can't help it. That's his nature. So one of the things that the Lord told me, showed me, and I want to share with you right now. He said to me, he said, did you see these Pharisees? That they were, according to Paul, concerning the law, perfect. Are you listening to me? Concerning the law, what? He said they were strict. They were strictly obeying the law. To the extent the church hasn't even obeyed one quarter, what did? They were really, really, really serious about the law. And obeyed it. Paul said, concerning the law, perfect. One young man came to Jesus and said, what must I do to be what? And Jesus said, how about the law? He said, from childhood, I have obeyed it to the letter. And Jesus said, you're right. But he said, you see, go and sell what you have and what? And the man became sad. Now, you don't even know the lesson that was revealed there. And I want to, please listen to me. You see those Pharisees? They were obeying the law to the letter, but their heart was wicked. And that's the core problem of mankind. And the Lord said to me, he said, they were obeying the law to the letter, but they were still wicked people. They were heartless. Their heart was deceitful. Their core nature was deceit. He said, but my son was walking in love. Walking in the love of God. And the only thing, brethren, the only thing that can change that wickedness of the heart of a human being is the life that Christ gives. Can't change it by trying to be good. You're wasting your time. Because the Pharisees obeyed the law to the letter, yet they were wicked. So Christmas is the day that God gave us solution to the wickedness of the heart of a man. And his name is who? Jesus Christ. He brought the love of God. The Bible says he brought us grace. He brought us unmerited favor. He brought us love. He brought us the life of God, which is love. The love of God, so that we poured in our hearts by his Spirit that lives in us. I was telling Obi Okafor yesterday. I said, people waste their time pursuing the devil. I said, the most dangerous thing a man has is his heart. Because the first person he will deceive is you. And God warned you to run away from him as far as you can. He said, lean not unto your own. He said, in all your ways, just go to God. He's the only one that will tell you the truth. Your heart will deceive you. Or he said, why should this? God said, you can't even understand your heart. See the Bible. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is deceitful. I need time here. This is Christmas. If you don't give me time, we'll be happy tomorrow. But let's discuss this issue. Let's sort this thing out. The heart is what? Deceitful above all things. And how is he? Desperately wicked. And then the question God asks is, who can you come to Hebrew? He's saying the same thing in the book of Hebrew. So nobody can discern his heart. I'm telling you, people, the Bible says, run from your heart. Run. The only source of truth is the Holy Spirit. If it comes from man, it's called Cana. I will profit you because that heart is deceitful. unless he renewed to begin to think like God. He's deceitful. Total. Look at Proverbs 14:30. Even in laughter, the heart is what? So you can't even find that. It's laughing, but inside is a... That's how our heart will lead us. The scripture says the way that seemeth what? Who is leading you there? Your heart is telling you that's a good thing. See that woman, she's so beautiful, marry her. If you don't marry her, you're finished. And then you do like Samson. Samson said, if I don't marry her, I am what? Finished. And the heart is deceitful. And they married her. And then the woman put Samson on her laps and used the razor blade to remove her hair. And God is saying to you, I know the end from what? Don't marry her. Marry this one. She's not beautiful. Yes, marry her. Your heart will deceive you. Telling you now. If you don't know it now, I'm telling you people. The Bible says run away from your heart. He says run as far as possible from it. And lean unto the Lord. In all your ways, lean what? Unto the Lord. Then he will direct your path. He's the one that will direct you accurately. Is anybody following what I'm saying? It's caused a lot of tragedy among Christians. Because they follow their deceitful heart. And then everything goes brakata. And then they turn to the Lord to come and pick the pieces. So the solution, God brought us solution on this Christmas, the first Christmas when Jesus came. He brought us the love of God. Can somebody say amen to that? He brought us the love of God. He brought us the spirit of love. And Paul, talking to Timothy, you know, Timothy got baptized in the Holy Spirit when Paul laid hands on him. And Timothy, Paul was telling him about the spirit he received. He said, Timothy, my son, God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear. But of, number one, power. Number two, love. Number two, what? If you don't have that spirit of love, God says you are none of mine. Your heart must change, called renewing. God puts his love into you so that you can live a life of love and live the life of God, for God is love. There's no other way you get this thing. If Christ doesn't come in you, you don't have it. The spirit that God gave us is the spirit of power, of love, and sound. Let's go through it again. The spirit of what? Power. And what again? Love. And what again? So, Pastor Victor said, every time we're singing, my hand is blessed. Anyone I touch, he said, but you haven't touched anyone yet. So, the hand you're supposed to touch, if you're touching it, has to be the hand of love. It has to be the hand of what? Love. Otherwise, you are not serving Jesus. And you're not useful to him. Because if it's not the hand of love, it's the hand of that deceitful heart. Let me show you the people that obeyed the law, that didn't have the spirit in them. Now, I'm telling you people, in your private life, I'm telling you people again, you don't have option than God. Don't go to where God is not. Don't do what God is not doing. Don't listen to what God is not talking about. Just follow what the Spirit of God is what? Because that's the absolute truth. If you don't understand it, tell him to open your eyes. You need to understand. The Bible said the church must hear what the Spirit is talking about. Again, I'm saying it. The body of Christ is not emphasizing what the Holy Spirit is emphasizing. And we're not a complete unity with him in this thing. And we're paying great price for it. My mentor told the story. They were having the same services we had. They were having the same service. And they, Let me even ask yourself a question. What do you prefer? That the Spirit of God comes here and glorifies Jesus, or that you dance and go home? Which one is better? But he cannot if we don't let him glorify Jesus. In any assembly of the body of Christ, if Jesus is not glorified, the Spirit of God is just keep quiet and watching him. Because that's what he came to do. Because Jesus is the only hope of mankind. He's the only solution to the wickedness in the heart of man. He's the only solution. Nothing will change a life except Christ. Nothing will change you and me. It's impossible. Nothing. Except him. That's why he's the savior of the world. So look at the people who obeyed the law but were wicked. They didn't have Christ in them. Matthew chapter 23, verse 13. This was strict obey the law. But see what the Lord Jesus said about them. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Really? These are the people who say from childhood we have what? We have obeyed this thing. The Lord Jesus said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Why? The heart of man is deceitful. He said, you are operating this heart that is very deceitful and desperately what? Wicked. He said, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You say you are not even in the kingdom. In spite of all this obeying the law, you don't have the life of God. You are not even in the kingdom. Against men, for you neither go in yourself. See where they are. See where they are. They are not even there. And Jesus was telling them, except a man is born, he shall not enter. You are outside. You are not. In fact, he told them the truth. He said, your father is the devil. He said, no, but I obey the law. He said, no, you don't understand. Only the son Jesus can make you a son of God. He said, when you become a son, you abide in the house forever. Otherwise, you are a servant. You are not there forever. For you shut the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourself, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. 14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make what? Long prayer. Therefore, you shall receive the greater damnation. 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he's made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. These are the people who stand before Jesus and say, what must I do to what? Inherit eternal. They are challenging his teaching. He said, what are you talking about? Why, okay. So what else? He said, how about this? I've obeyed, man. But this is the result. Wickedness. Brethren, have you checked out believers until money comes in the deal? Shall we say the truth in the church? Have you checked out all these people that dance and go to night vigil, pray, until dollar shows up? Do you know how much wickedness Christians practice? Heartlessness. Do you know how much wickedness is in the body of Christ? That your brother will go behind and finish your character and feel satisfied. Do you know how much wickedness is in the homes? That people treat their wives like they pick them on the street. You treat somebody God gave you like a human being made in the image of God. You treat her because she married you. If she didn't marry you, trouble. Now she married you. You treat her. And now she has had your children. You treat her like garbage. And you are even arguing your case. And you go to church and be singing. Brother, I'm telling you people the truth. The heart of man is wicked. Desperately wicked. And deceives him to think he's okay. Except the Lord builds. Jesus, the Lord. That's Christmas. Praise the Lord. Don't joke with him. He's the only hope of glory. And then let me read verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint. Matthew 23, 23, right? Are you here? Have you gone home to eat rice? Remember, the heart of man is what? Wicked. It will deceive you to go and eat rice. It won't want you to hear the truth. You know another thing the Lord told me? It's amazing. That discussion, we're going to have it from Monday. You can come and join us, me and him. He said to me, he said, do you know? He said, do you know the law leads to bondage? He said, the only thing that sets a man free is the truth. He said, my son is the truth. He's the only one that can set a human being free. Nobody can. You pay for it. This thing you people gave me is going down and up and down. It's brand new. What kind of thing is this? Praise the Lord. What am I supposed to do? Hold it. Listen to me. The Lord told me, he said, you know the law leads to bondage. He said, read it. Didn't you read what Paul wrote about the Old Testament and the New? He said, this one represents this that leads to bondage, and this one represents this one that leads to liberty. He said, the only way a man is free is through my son, and he has to know the truth, and the truth is Jesus. And when you know the truth, then the truth shall what? Otherwise, you say, what the life of Christian, many people are struggling with a lot of things. A lot of character issues, a lot of bondages, a lot of stuff. Because of ignorance. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I was studying about, the Lord was teaching me about values. He said, look at values. He said, I'm teaching about values myself, and I'm telling the people that their treasure should be spiritual things. He said, lay your treasure upon in what? Things above. And then he said, I said to the Lord, I said, what treasure? What will it? He said, I'm just showing you people values. That things above last forever. But the things on earth don't last what? He said, but people spin it around and they're pursuing things on earth at the expense of things in heaven. He said, the reason they do that, he said, if you watch the next thing I was saying, he said, I was talking about the eye being the light of the body. He said, after I said that, the next thing I talked about was the eye being the eyes, the light of the body. He said, if your eye is bad, your whole body was what? He said, when a Christian walks in spiritual darkness, his eye is black. That's why he would choose earthly things above spiritual things. Tell the truth. He says, ignorance. Because if they know value, if their eyes is open and they understand value, they will choose the eternal things and pursue it above earthly things. He says, it's ruining their lives. Because it's those eternal things that will make the earthly things pursue you. Overtake you. Can I hear amen? Is it not what he said? Seek you first what? Then what will happen? But we'll reverse it around and be fasting and wasting time. He says it's ignorance. The things that will make these things be added is the spiritual things. And we are not pursuing them. So what will make this thing pursue you, come and follow you? The earthly things. Is when you pursue spiritual things. For the things that are seen are made by the things that are not seen. I don't know if I'm communicating to you. So now this is the life of people who have not received Christ. They obey the law, but they are wicked. And let me tell us something. The Lord said to me, said, did you read the scripture where I said, if any man drinks the water I give, he shall thirst what? He said, many people come to church, they refuse to drink my water. So they won't drink it. They won't listen to my word. And they're spiritually dry. The Lord will have mercy on us. Praise the Lord. Now look at a man that received the love of God, that drank the water of life, that opened his heart and took it in. Acts chapter 7, 56. And said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him. Again, these are the Pharisees. The law people, the prophet people. they ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at the young man's feet. Which means they stoned one man so much they were sweating. That's the heartlessness of a man that did not value another man's life simply because he says something that does not agree with you. I want you to check our relationships and find how quickly we get angry because somebody disagrees with us. Check now. How quickly we start throwing stone. Our face concourse immediately. And if they want to take a photograph for the calendar, you smile. Somebody doesn't agree with you. Don't they have a right to their opinion? Even if it's foolish, they have a right to be foolish anyway because you two have been foolish at the one time or the other. Simply, I don't agree with your point. Anger comes immediately. Brethren, we have issues. Anger, pump! This is not a regular Christmas service. Praise the Lord. I would rather that you leave here, drink the water that Jesus gave you so that you thirst no more. And then I would rather that you leave here, become a vessel of power, that your neighbors will be calling you and say, can you pray for us, please? My son is sick, please. Come over here and lay your hands on. Somebody shout hallelujah. When they are confused, they call you, can you come and talk to us? We have issues in the family. Because they see there's a glory you carry. There's a glory you carry. That's the glory. Brethren, we carry God. We're not talking about carrying human beings. We're carrying God. We're carrying God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When people carry dollar, if you need money, you go and be asking them to lend you. You know, Nigeria has one word, borrow. The word lend doesn't exist there again. Everything is borrow me. Acts 7:58. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, now let's see the life of a man that has received this life, this love, and see if that is our life. Is he not the same Jesus that he got, that we got? Is it different now? No, it's not different. It's the same Jesus, honey. Telling you. And then he said, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down, cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their what? To their charge. Is that our language? Is that our language? They were stoning him because his heart is no more wicked. That's what it's all about. It's a new heart. It's a new life. It's the love of God. This love of God, nothing quenches it. Because it's God at work. It's God at work. It's the Spirit of Christ at work. It's the same Spirit that said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what. The same Spirit was talking in this man. Not another Spirit. That was Jesus. Saying, forgive them, Lord. The same prayer continued in his mouth. Should continue in your mouth and my mouth. Not looking for God to kill them and punish them. Not snuff them out. That's the wicked heart. The Spirit of Christ says, forgive them. Have mercy. The Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit, they speak the same language. The blood speaks mercy. We too should speak what? Mercy. You can't go behind and gossip if it is Christ. No, because he doesn't speak evil of any man. He does not wish that any should perish. Can I hear amen? Amen? That's what Christmas brought. The gift that takes away wickedness and puts the tender love of God. Tender love of God. Our language becomes, it's okay. It's okay. Lord, forgive us. And you see, it's not just changing of life. I told you that every work of power, every work of faith that God does, it does through his love. I was reading about, I think John G. Lake. John G. Lake was praying for a young boy that had cancer. This boy had been so finished by cancer, he was only bone and skeleton. They've been praying and nothing happened. And one day he ran in there, carried this boy by the hand. Just his heart was broken. Brethren, listen. All of a sudden, the power of God hit the boy. Just hit the boy right there, and the boy stood up strong, well. God is love. It flows through love. Understand it. It flows through love. Flows through his love. We are saved by grace. It is his love that brought us that salvation. The grace of God that bringeth this salvation. It is his love. But we get it by faith. If that power that saved us flow through his grace, flow through his love, flow through his compassion. For his compassion faileth. Let me read for us a story. And I read one more story and I'm done. There was a church in Texas. I think it was Texas. I mean, this Christmas season. This is not last year. This thing happened this week. They were doing Christmas program. Not carol. Carol, yeah? Carol, yeah? You're right. Christmas carol and the program. And then one of the scenes of the program was a delivery of pizza. So they now really arranged a real pizza man to deliver the pizza. I love that, man. So they arranged a real pizza man so that the pizza man would deliver the pizza during when they're acting the play to make it real. But the pizza man brought the pizza and sat at the back waiting for when they would call him to bring the pizza. And then they asked him to bring the pizza. And then he brought the pizza. I want you to listen to this story. Thank you. I love you. Thank you. Are you still following me? Is something happening in your tongue? Because I mentioned pizza. But are you following me so far? Now he brought pizza and waited. Now it was his time to now bring the pizza and deliver it according to the play. And then he delivered it. And then the leader of the group said to him, he said, there's something, there's a big thing going to happen for you. What is it? And he said, but how did you know? Thank you. Thank you. See why you're not my wife. And then he said, there's a big thing going to happen for you. So what is it? And then he told him the story about that his heart was so bad, he was going to have heart transplant. And those people, their heart was broken. So they began to contribute money for him. The love of God began to move them. And he got 1,000 something on the spot. And that's not the only thing. Listen. It says, David Carmack. Carmack? You don't know, I don't know. So just take what I called it. Carmack. Had no idea what was in store for him. When he arrived to work on Sunday, that 31-year-old pizza delivery driver had been called into work early and was dispatched to Victorious Life Church in Louisville. Slightly confused by the directions, he arrived early and waited patiently at the rear of the church. Carmack was then called to the stage during a Christmas play by the lead character played by David Hira, who, as part of the script, had ordered a pizza. So he came down the aisle, Hira said, and I sat him down and said, there is something big going on in your life. You have a life-changing event coming up. In shock, the pizza man stared blankly. He recalled, I'm like, what? How did you know this? See, demonstration of the Spirit. That's what we're supposed to be doing. I told you, that's what the church should be. When people come, they come in contact with Jesus. Praise the Lord. So he said, he says, 2 years ago, the father of three was diagnosed with end-stage heart failure. He will need a pump implant into his chest that does 90% of the resting workload of the heart. Because the pump needs 24-hour power, Kamak has to wear a battery pack when he's out of the house and must be plugged in when home. I need this to live, he said, patting the pack of battery he's carrying, and then medication. After sharing his story on stage, the miracle started. Everyone got up out of their seats and came up to us and dropped money in the heart, he said. And he got 1,456. But listen to this. The world is good, he said. It is full of goodness and kindness, and people are just wanting to be able to express that in some way or and be witness to that. Now, the next thing that happened is but there was more to come. On Monday, after this thing happened on Sunday, listen to this. I told you that God's power moves through love. Moves through love. Then on Monday, Devin got word from his doctor that he no longer needs a heart transplant. No prayer. Nobody prayed. For God is love. No prayer. The love of God touched his life because Jesus was in the house. God, Jesus moved through those vessels of love to hug him. Gave him a hug. That's all he needed. A touch from the Lord. That's what church is for. That's why you're a Christian. So Jesus can hug somebody through you. Jesus can touch somebody through you. But if that wicked heart is operating, you withdraw his hand. Because he's not wicked. He's not deceitful. The Bible says there's no deceit in his mouth. Luke 7:36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. At this point, any of us here would have said, this man has backslid. But watch it. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. 39, when the Pharisees see them again, holier than thou, see them again, Jesus said, you are not even in the kingdom. You won't let others enter. And they confront her and say, what must I do now to have eternal life? What are you talking about? Said the long, because I obeyed. But their heart was wicked. See them again. They're here. Any Pharisee here? If you are here today, it's Christmas. You must receive that love of God. So you stop being a Pharisee. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known what kind of woman is there touching him. She's a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher. Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one, 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debt. Who do you suppose loved him more than after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't even offer me water to wash the dust from my feet. But she has washed them with her tears, wiped them with her hair, bred them. You see, when the love of God takes over your heart, you love Jesus for real. You don't do things because they told you to do. You don't give him offering because pastor preached. You are in love with him. You get expensive things for him. You take your life and dash him. You surrender your life. You give him the best you can. Love will make you give the best. And you won't feel the pain. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. God doesn't want us to do things for him by force. He doesn't want us to do things being pushed like wheelbarrow. He said, I love a cheerful gift. He said, if you love me, then you can be doing what I say. Don't do it because of any other thing. It's because you love me. He said, this woman, see what she's doing here. You Pharisee didn't even do that. You don't love me at all. You showed no care. Love is an action thing. He said, I walked in here. You didn't care about me. Call me teacher. That's it. But this woman kept caring, showing how much she loved me. I want to ask you a question. You think that if Jesus asked that woman to go and deliver something, will she go? Huh? You see why it's difficult for you to serve him? He asked you to lead people, come here for meetings, you won't come. See what I'm talking about? See what I'm talking about? Because we're not emphasizing what the Spirit of God is emphasizing. So people have retained this wicked heart. They become religious. They come and tell God lies, how they love him, yet they don't love him. And God says, you love me. You can't sacrifice anything for me. This woman sacrificed very costly perfume. Her hair, the honor of her life, she used it to wipe somebody's feet. So this story of Christmas must continue. Guess who will continue it? You. Let's pray.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.